Proverbs chapter 12, verse 27 says this, "A lazy man, a slothful man, does not roast his prey, but the precious possession of a man is diligence." Good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. And I'm joined today by my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder, who is the teaching pastor and counselor at First Baptist Texarkana. Chris, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this isn't your first rodeo, is it?
No, I was thinking about, I just didn't know if I had the work ethic to get up to come today.
Well, we're going to talk about work ethic, and we're going to talk about what the Bible has to say about the lazy man, the slothful man, and what it has to say about the precious possession of a man is diligence. What does it say about diligence and hard work? I think that our default setting in our sinful flesh is to be overindulgent. It's to be, eat too much and you know, want what we want when we want it, to be selfish, and also to be lazy.
Well, I mean, it boils down to pleasing self, just to be about self, what feels good for self. That's our sin nature. That's definitely our human nature.
Now, the Bible makes it clear that we're to work. In 6 days you shall labor, and then we have a Sabbath day's rest. Chris, for some of us, we blow past the Sabbath day's rest, and when we're working all the time, and for others, they can't get off the couch.
Yeah, that is true. There's two different, we do sometimes see two different types of people, two stereotypical people. We see from God, from the creation story, he created in 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested, setting an example for us that we also need a day of rest. I know personally, that's a tough one for me. My wife, she's good at it. Her family is good at it, her family of origin. They're good at just taking a day or taking time to rest. I'm the type of person that always has to be doing something, always has to be busy, right. And so it's more difficult to rest, unless a good game is on TV.
March Madness.
Yeah.
Okay, so given that you and your wife are very different as far as that goes, do you feel, confession time, if you're just sitting on the couch not doing anything, do you feel like you're wasting time?
Yeah, definitely. She's helped me a lot through the years. She has helped me to just affirm me and just say it's okay to not be doing something right now. It's okay just to be sitting here and be, you know, just present. And so she has helped me, but I know first few months or so just being with her family, and they didn't have an agenda, and they just wanted just to sit together and be together, and that was okay with them. I was used to my family, we were always doing something. There was always something on the schedule, something next that we had to be doing, and usually it was some sort of activity. Mm-hmm. And so it's definitely taken adjustment. I'm not haven't arrived, but she's definitely helped me to grow in that area.
Well, we think about in Scripture, it just popped into my head. So Luke 10, you have the two sisters, Mary and Martha.
Yeah.
I think that we would say that Martha probably had trouble resting.
Yeah.
And she probably got mad at her sister Mary because she said, you're not working hard enough. And some are, you know, Martha's, and some, and Mary has chosen the good part. But Mary, you can take Mary to the extreme, and then she becomes somebody that doesn't ever work.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just your body. It's not just physical activity, like working, like cleaning the house, like the Mary and Martha story. But it also could be your mind. Like not allowing your mind to stop and focus, and even like worship, you know, just thinking about even at church, like that time of worship, instead of focusing in on God and worshiping him, that he's worthy of our worship, our minds can race. And what is the next thing I need to do? What's going to happen after church? You know, what are we going to have for lunch? All these different things were. So it could be the mind also, not just physically, but mentally. Not being able to rest.
Well, I think that as you look out in our world, by and large, people probably struggle more with laziness and needing to move forward as opposed to I'm working too hard, I need to back it off.
Yeah, probably. And probably, you know, we pick on the young generation. We talked about the Zoomers, the Z generation, you know, That would be the stereotype, that there's not as much work ethic as the previous generations.
Right. Well, it's important to have work ethic. And the Bible tells us in the New Testament, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. So, Chris, we talk about, in our work life, especially for men, a man is given the responsibility by God to provide for his household. It says in 1 Timothy, if a man does not provide for his own household, he's worse than an unbeliever. And so that's on the man. That doesn't mean the wife can't work outside the home. I said Sunday, we were talking about the fall and Adam and Eve, and the curse on the ground affected Adam as a as a farmer.
That's a great point, yeah.
Because his main responsibility is to provide, and so it's going to be difficult to provide. For the man, he has to work and he has to apply himself. He can't be lazy, because laziness is not going to get the job done.
Yeah, and it's outside the home, working for a paycheck to provide for your family. That's your responsibility, to provide for your family. And you brought up the point, not forcing your wife or, putting pressure on your wife to work, but you taking it on yourself that you need to provide for her. And if she's feeling like she wants to be home with the kids, then you more responsibility is on you to provide as the man, but also inside the home and taking care of the home and the yard and, everything that's required to live as a family. So it's not just outside the home, but also inside the home. There's a lot of work to be done.
Mm-hmm. Well, I am, in my relationship with Debbie, I'm a lot more like your wife, Rochelle, mm-hmm. and Debbie's a lot more like you in her personality and her temperament. And so Debbie was always, you do the hard things first.
Yep.
And, kids, when you come home from school, the first thing we're doing is we're getting a snack and we're doing our homework. And we're going to knock that out. And by 4:15 or 4:30, you're done with all your homework. You have the rest of the evening. As opposed to the idea that you come home, you goof around, and then all of a sudden it's 8:30 and I hadn't done my homework, and now I'm scrambling and I'm trying to go to bed and all. So I think Debbie's way of doing things and Chris, your way of doing things, leaves you lots of margin if you run into a snag.
I mean, I think that would be the definition of discipline, doing the hard things first. I look at it like, and I even do this, if you have a dinner that includes steak, potatoes, and green beans, I eat the green beans first. It's not my favorite of the three items, but I eat it first. So you do the hard things first. You do the things that you don't like as much first, so that you can enjoy things later. That's the mindset.
So Proverbs 12:27, look at it again or listen to it again. A lazy man, a slothful man, does not roast his prey. How are we to understand that? Well, one translation puts it this way. A lazy hunter does not catch his prey. I mean, if you're not out there hunting, you're not, you're sitting on the couch, you haven't made it out to the woods. Well, yeah, you're not going to catch your prey. And if you don't catch your prey, you're not going to roast your prey, because there is no prey. So a lazy man does not roast his prey. But the precious possession of a man is diligence. It is hard work. It is to apply yourself. And that word diligence means to be sharp and determined and insightful and proactive rather than reactive. It's to put yourself out there. Hey, I'm gonna get off the couch and I'm gonna engage and I'm gonna do the things that are hard to do.
Yeah, it's funny. In my commentary for my study Bible on that verse, it says, and is too lazy to lift the food from the dish to his mouth.
Yeah.
And it goes to Proverbs 19:24 that says, the sluggard buries his hand in the dish, but will not even bring it back to his mouth.
Yeah, that's not a good picture.
Wow.
So, the command in Scripture, and the Bible likes to use it 12 times in the Bible, let's see, Old Testament, just Proverbs. 12 times in the book of Proverbs, we run into the word sluggard. And the sluggard is the lazy person. So New American Standard uses that word sluggard. And when you're a sluggard, you're a person that is lazy. Here are all the scriptures. Go to the ant, O sluggard, observe her ways and be wise. Because the ants, they're diligent. They work hard. How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? The sluggard likes to be in bed a lot. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the soul of the diligent is made fat. So, yeah, you can have all these great desires as you're sitting on the couch. We have that term, Chris, couch potato. So if you're sitting on the couch, you know, you can watch The Biggest Loser and see all these people that are losing all this weight, and you need to get out there, but you're sitting on the couch.
Well, at least you're cheering for them.
You're cheering while you're eating ice cream. And then that verse you said, the sluggard buries his hand in the dish and will not even bring it back to his mouth. That's like taking laziness to the nth degree.
I mean, these words are just making me motivated. I don't want to be a slothful and a sluggard. I mean, these words are just terrible, but that's what the Bible uses.
Yeah, and the Lord gives us a picture in nature with the sloth. There's actually an animal. There's two of them. There's the two-toed sloth and the three-toed sloth, and what they're known for is how slowly they move.
Yeah, they're amazing creatures. I mean, watching them move so slowly, it's so humorous.
Right. So God blesses diligence. The precious possession of a man is diligence. And here's the wonderful thing about that, Chris. Anyone can put forth effort. Effort is not something like the ability to sing five octaves. Very few people can do that. But everyone can apply himself or herself and give their very best.
Yeah, I think diligence, a good word for diligence would be determination, being determined. And it comes from the inside, not the outside. So you have intrinsic motivation and you have extrinsic motivation. And, you know, that it talks about that in that book, Drive, by Anthony Pink. He talked about the intrinsic reward is, it's not from the outside. It's not a trophy. You know, how we joke about everybody gets a trophy. It's something that comes from within. So you're determined within to finish something, to complete something. And that's what we want in our children to have. And that's what we want the younger generation to have. We want them to be determined from the inside. They call it grit. Also, another word is grit. And teachers have began to study grit, not just intelligence, not just
tenacity.
That tenacity to finish something, to finish a product, even when it's hard.
Okay, so both you and I got our doctorates, and you got yours rather quickly. It took me a long time. But as you know, getting a doctorate does not mean that you're the smartest guy in the room. It means that you have grit. It means you have tenacity. You have the stick-to-itiveness to push through.
That's really all it is, honestly.
Yeah, it's doing the work, and it's not easy. And that the paper, you know, we both got Doctor of Ministries degree as opposed to a PhD, which is another step above, and that there's a lot more involved with that. But in either case, it's a marathon. I mean, you have to put in the work. There are no shortcuts to that.
And you have to jump through the hoops. I mean, you have, well, I had a mentor, and they just told me what to do, and then I have to do it. And it's just tedious stuff.
Right. And especially the form on the paper.
Oh, yes, yes.
As any seminary student will tell you, man, the form on the paper was almost as hard as the paper itself.
Yeah, the spacing and, of course, the grammar, the spacing. It's just all tedious stuff.
So when I did my doctorate, they told me, they said, now, you can't use the to-be verb in your writing. It's like, well, the to-be verb is, are, were, was. That's a word that we use in almost every sentence. They said, yeah, try and come up with another word for the to-be verb, which makes writing sentences very difficult. You have to really think, okay, how can I say this in a different way, which makes it scholarly writing, which is not the way people talk.
Right.
And so it can be difficult to write that, difficult to read that. And but when you put in the work on the schoolwork, that's when you get your high school degree, your college degree, your master's degree, your doctorate. You have to You have to be diligent.
And then you feel the satisfaction of a job well done, of completing something.
Yeah, it's a, I can, I, when I got my doctorate, I said, I can die now.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
I felt like Simeon, you know, my eyes have seen your salvation. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, along with Dr. Chris Schroeder. We're talking about diligence. Don't go away.
Here at the AFA Foundation, we help families just like yours shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
AFA Foundation's Associate Director, Chelsea Wildman.
We would love to work with you to see if a charitable gift annuity is right for your situation. With a charitable gift annuity, you'll be giving to the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association, and you'll be ensuring that you receive a lifetime income and excellent tax benefits. You can fund a CGA through cash, credit card, or stock. Why not reach out to the AFA Foundation team today?
A charitable gift annuity benefits you and helps ensure the AFA will impact America for generations to come. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Give us a call and let's talk about a charitable gift annuity.
Greetings, everyone. I'm Dr. Matt Ayers, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary. Did you know that there's a way to attend seminary where you don't have to write papers and you don't have to get graded? When you audit a course, you get to participate in the course and learn without earning the degree. You can sign up to audit any course at Wesley Biblical Seminary for only $250. Whether it's discipleship or the Old Testament or theology, you can audit a course this coming semester. Go to wbs.edu to sign up to audit. That's wbs.edu.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind, and the loss is overwhelming. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. But there is hope and healing from an abortion. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. 866-482-LIFE.
God made His design for marriage and family absolutely clear. Unfortunately, Satan has a totally opposite view. The Marriage Family Life Conference 2023 wants to restore God's plan. July 6th through the 8th at the Cadence Bank Arena and Conference Center in Tupelo, Mississippi, strengthen your marriage and your family with Miki Addison.
The family, God's tool to advance the gospel and grow the church. This is why the enemy attacks it so much.
Israel Wayne.
The latest government statistics say dads spend 19 minutes a day with their children, and the average mom spends an hour a day. We have to have time with them.
Stephen Black.
This lust, this inordinate desire, actually brings destruction to everyone around. How do you know this? Because I used to be homosexual.
And many more. The Youth Apologetics track is back as well. The Marriage Family Life Conference 2023, for His glory alone. Register today at marriagefamilylife.net.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with Dr. Chris Schroeder. We're talking about the subject of diligence. The Bible has much to say about diligence, and Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent as it relates to the Word of God. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the Word of truth. So our time in the Word and knowing the Word and handling it accurately, that takes diligence. Now, we have a guest on in this segment, Pastor Joseph Parker. Pastor Joseph Parker heads up the Ten Commandments Project. It's a speech contest, and it is targeted to children and youth ages 6 to 18. And Pastor Parker, thank you for coming on today.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff, for the opportunity to be with you today.
Yeah. Well, tell us about the Ten Commandments Project.
Well, it's a project. It's actually bigger than the speech contest. It's a discipleship project, and it's a tool to really help parents in particular to really become, well, actually, to use the word you're dealing with, diligent about discipling their children. Sadly, in our world, often believers, in their minds, they think they're diligent when it comes to discipling their children, but in reality, often they're really not. And this is a project that it centers on the Ten Commandments. However, it's really bigger than that in that, like, it's really about helping parents to become diligent about this whole matter of discipling their children. The three different sides of the project involve the speech contest is one, and right this year are the commandment that we're inviting young people to do a speech on is honor your father and your mother. And of course, that has to do with respecting authority. And again, we, again, their age ranges from 6 to 18. And initially we thought we wanted to give them a time limit, but we decided not to because the younger kids tend to have shorter speeches. But what has been neat is because when a small child puts together a speech, it involves them getting into the word and getting into the topic. And so the first year we ended up with 27 speeches. Last year we ended up with about 40 speeches. And what we found is you could see the Spirit of God working powerfully through every single young person. And the broadcast I host here on AFR is the Hour of Intercession, comes on early in the morning. And we ended up with having almost all of the children on to both share their speech and have their parents talk about it. And what was exciting to me was to see the parents' excitement over seeing how their child getting into the word was working on them spiritually. And so the contest has been an exciting part of the project. I would mention the two other sides of the project involved is very simply, if a child memorizes the Ten Commandments in short form, recites them to their dad or mom can call the radio station and say, my son or daughter recited them to me. This is his size, his or her size. This is my mailing address. And we'll mail them a Ten Commandments t-shirt with the Ten Commandments on the back. But again, it's not so much about the t-shirt. It's really about them helping to get the word of God in the mind, in the heart of their child. And the last part of the project has to do with we're encouraging individuals, churches, or people that feel led to do this to start a six-week teaching program where you teach through the Ten Commandments, have the children memorize them, but teach them the meaning behind the different commandments. And this is something both my wife and I have done in a number of different settings, Boys and Girls Clubs, otherwise, but we encourage as churches and individuals to do the same. And again, one of the reasons why it's so critical is because we live in a world where the reality is the kingdom of darkness is trying to swallow our children alive. And The reality is many children are being discipled in darkness through the internet, through video games, through television, through movies, and that's what they're being affected by. So the project is meant to help parents in that regard.
Amen. Now, did you come up with the project, Pastor?
Well, I feel like the Holy Spirit gave it to us. We started about 5 years ago, and it's expanded, and it's exciting to me when a parent latches onto it. Uh-huh. And so, with the help of the Holy Spirit, definitely, yes, sir, we did start it.
Yeah, and how has it spread over those 5 years?
Well, we've had a chance to do a number of different the six-week projects. We've done them in Tupelo. We've done them in another city in the state. We encourage others, another church. Recently, CBN flew to the Mississippi Delta to do a story on a church that took it and really blew it up in the Delta where they really affected a lot of kids. And that's exactly what we want because, again, too often, and I say this as someone who's been a pastor for most of the last 47 years, often we fool ourselves about being diligent about discipling kids. We think we're doing something, but many times, what's reflected is how much time and energy you put into something. That shows how important it is to you. Often when it comes to kids, churches aren't really doing that.
No, that is such a great program. So as we all know, the Ten Commandments used to be something that kids learned in school. They learned the Bible in school, in public school, years past. And I was listening, Joseph, I was listening to a sermon by Ken Ham at the Creation Research, and he said, in Australia, they used to teach the Bible in public schools. And so he said, mm-hmm. People were biblically literate kids, even if they were unbelievers, they knew the biblical record. They knew about Adam and Eve and Noah and those kinds of things. Now people are totally illiterate when it comes to the Bible because they're never exposed to that. I think this is just a great opportunity for parents. And so how does a parent get involved in this, Joseph?
Well, if they want more information about the project, they can simply email me at jparker@afa.net, and we'll be glad to send them more information. Or if a parent just wants to do the memorization part of the project, they can just have their child memorize the Ten Commandments in short form and call the radio station at 662-844-5036 and tell us, my son or daughter recited them, and this is his size, this is my address, and we'll mail them the T-shirt for free. But just get in touch with us. We're glad to give more information, and we really want to help individuals and churches that want to take it and run with it, because it's a simple project. But at the same time, you know, Pastor Jeff, I think of this, excuse me, a couple reasons why it's so important for a couple reasons that are illustrated in tragic news stories is why it's important for us to get the word in our children. The word of God affects our minds and our hearts and our whole lives. Well, in a large city here in the South, a young man took something and ran out the door, and sadly, an attendant stepped out and shot him, and he died. Well, the attendant did get arrested, but if a parent or a Sunday school teacher or a pastor had taught him the Ten Commandments, probably he'd be alive today. And the reason I would say that is because, yes, God's word, it's seed, but it's seed that results in eternally good fruit in the hearts and the lives of individuals and obviously children as well. So just as you alluded to, when children have a basic knowledge of Scripture, it makes a huge difference in their lives. Amen. So that's important.
Yeah, Pastor Parker, I appreciate the project. That sounds really good. I especially like the speech honoring your parents. I think any parent would love to hear that.
That's right.
And the memory verses, that's incredible. I have a 6-year-old and an 8-year-old. So are more individuals or churches getting involved right now?
Well, actually, individual students, just like as I mentioned last year, it just so happened last year our commandment that we did a speech on was "You shall not murder," and so the Holy Spirit may very well used some of those 40 speeches to help overturn Roe v. Wade. You know, that's God's business. But Amen. The point is this: that child is going to learn in a whole new way the meaning behind that truth when they do a speech on it, because that's a wonderful way to disciple. Because they're going to have to do Bible research, research on the topic, and then express themselves. And to be very honest with you, what is so powerful to me is to listen to some of those speeches. Some of these children are bold enough to say things that some politicians and preachers aren't bold enough to say. And they say it from the heart of a child. And many of the kids did it with no script. They spoke from their heart. And part of what we did was we encouraged them, please ask your pastor to let you do your speech in church. Most of them didn't do that, but a few did. Mm-hmm. But from my perspective as a pastor, if I had a young person that asked to do that, I'd put kids up 52 Sundays out of a year, because children are an unused resource, sadly, in the church.
Yeah.
Churches should definitely put kids to work in much greater ways.
Amen. Well, okay, so the speeches, I know you didn't put a limit on it, but is it like a 3-minute to 10-minute, or what's the...
Well, a suggested length is 3 to 5 minutes. However, again, one of the reasons why we decided to not go with the limit was because, the younger children tended to do shorter speeches. And like, for example, one little 7-year-old boy did a speech. He lived in Florida. He did a speech that's about 59 seconds. He had one of the most powerful speeches you will ever hear in your life. about you shall not murder. And he uses a little orange gun as his illustration, which, again, lots of folks wouldn't have liked that, but that was his illustration. And he uses little baby sister as a part of the illustration. But a powerful speech. And the point is, though, it's not about him being cute. It's about he's speaking truth that the world needs to hear. And so if they can do it in 59 seconds, again, praise God. And so that's exactly what many of the kids did in very few moments. Spoke truth that the world needs to hear.
Amen. Okay, so the contest, they need to get their videos in by April 26th. Is that right?
That's correct. That's the deadline for this year, yes.
Okay, and there are cash prizes, first through fifth place.
Yes, first place, $150. Second place, $125. Third place, $100. Fourth, $80. And fifth, $50. Yes.
Amen. Well, Pastor, I think this is a great project, and praise the Lord that he gave that to you 5 years ago, and may God just use it, and I hope our listeners get their kids involved. And so tell them again how they can contact you to find out more information.
Again, my email is jparker@afa.net, or they can call the radio station 662-844-5036, and my extension is extension 381. We're glad to give them all the information they need to get involved.
Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you, brother. Thank you for this. And we look forward to great results and great testimonies that will ensue from this project.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff.
God bless you. All right, Chris, diligence in studying the Word.
Yes.
And, man, learning the Ten Commandments, just memorizing the Ten Commandments. I've seen some man on the street interviews where people talk about the Ten Commandments, and folks know. They know the Ten Commandments in terms of there are Ten Commandments from God, but you say, what are they? And maybe they get two or three of them right.
And I think with studying God's Word, you will never know everything about God's Word. You could study it for a lifetime and not know everything. And so it does require diligence for the pastors studying God's Word. I know that you diligently study God's Word, especially before you bring a sermon on Sunday. But every layperson should be in God's Word, studying God's Word, learning more about His Word and His ways. And as Pastor Parker said, as the Word gets in your heart, it gets in your life, it impacts your life, it changes your life. And so I know with my daughters, I try to teach them God's Word and God's truth because it impacts their life greatly.
Right. Well, and as we said, you know, in the early 60s, they took the Ten Commandments out of schools and they took prayer out of the schools. And how's that working for us?
Right, right.
Not good at all. You know, God's Word is different from any other book because it's living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And kids, when they learn the Word, even if they're not believers, that will speak to them because it comes up. So as Pastor Parker said, you know, with this crime, if you had learned as a young person that stealing is wrong, you shall not steal, that plays in your mind when you're getting ready to violate your conscience and violate the Word of God. If you don't know it, then you just what you see around you, and it's just like everybody steals, everybody lies, everybody does this.
Yeah, we know the Ten Commandments is like a mirror to our soul to see where we're at spiritually, but it's great great guardrails for our life, and God has given it to us as a way to guide our lives in living a holy life.
Well, Chris, as we get back into the meat of diligence and hard work in not only in Scripture but in your job. Let's talk about the thief of procrastination, because many of us, and I'll be the first to throw myself under the bus, struggle with procrastination. You don't. My wife, Debbie, doesn't. But what's the counsel for those who seem to fall into procrastination? I'll do it later, I'll do it tomorrow, and tomorrow never comes.
Well, I mean, I don't like the feeling of having something hanging over my head, you know, and just having this constant reminder. It's in the back of your mind, so your mind is never clear because you know that you have to get that thing done, whatever that thing is, whatever that project is, and then it just looms. And so, and also it just doesn't give you much room, margin for error. You know, if you do wait till the end and then something comes up, then you have no margin for error. And so so I do believe that it's good to get things done right away just in case something else comes up.
Right. Well, the old illustration about the you got to put the big rocks in the jar first, because if you don't, they won't fit in.
Now, some people will, one of our assistants here in the church, she'll make a list. And I mean, she is just obsessive over this list, and she's checkmarking the list, and she's satisfied if the list is all checked off. And it's the strength is an achiever, because it's achievement, because she'll get a lot done because she feels this sense of achievement in getting things done. That does help your own self-esteem when you are able to get things done, when you're able to check it off and achieve it.
Well, it does. And there's a, you know, you go to sleep at night, you put your head upon the pillow and you think, you know, I accomplished stuff today. That's why Jordan Peterson says, hey, first thing, first order of the day, make your bed, because it's an accomplishment. You know, you can put that on your to-do list. Hey, I did that. And I checked that off. And go to the gym. Hey, I did that. You know, we procrastinate about exercise a lot. And You know, your body won't exercise itself. You have to get it out there, and you feel so much better when you do.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is hope for those who struggle with procrastination, and there's hope for all of us because, as we said at the top of the program, all of us can apply ourselves, and the precious possession of a man, a woman, a boy, or girl is diligence. And diligence is just putting your will to say, I am going to do this. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. When we come back, we'll open the phone lines. We'd love to hear from you about this important topic. Don't go away.
Friendships is offering an exciting opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, become physically fit, and learn relief ministry while serving in the Middle East. This is an amazing opportunity to serve God and experience Israel. Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins August 19th.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I'm Corey, and this is my story. I was going through some financial troubles paying off my credit cards. I was paying high interest rates, and it just wasn't getting any better. And I knew I had to do something. So my mom told me about Trinity, and so I decided to call. Trinity was able to do something that I couldn't. I'm paying off my debt, I'm saving thousands, and things are really looking up. I promise you guys, you will not regret it when you call Trinity, because it was such a relief and less stress in my life, and it was the best thing I could have done for myself, because once I called Trinity, they took care of me, and I felt such a relief, a weight off my shoulders, and they are a Christian-based company. I love it.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
I'm Corey, and I'm debt-free for keeps.
1-800-788-1813.
Here's Rob West of Faith and Finance, heard here daily on American Family Radio.
I'd like to take a moment to ask you to consider investing in the ministry that you know as American Family Association. For over 40 years, American Family Association has been on the front lines in the battle for the future of our great nation. They continue to stand for the biblical principles America was founded upon. One way you can support AFA's efforts is through your estate planning. Why not explore the benefits of including AFA in your estate planning? You can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Contact Riley Wildman and the team at the AFA Foundation today. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit afafoundation.net.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and we are talking, Dr. Chris Schroeder and I are talking about the subject of diligence, of putting your nose to the grindstone, so to speak. And our key verse has been Proverbs 12:27. A slothful, lazy man does not roast his prey, but the precious possession of a man is diligence. Now, we'd love to talk to you about this important subject. We have to have diligence in life, diligence in our work life, diligence in marriage and family. Good marriages and good families don't just happen. You have to put forth the effort. And then diligence as we pursue the Lord. As the Bible says, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Well, the phone lines are open, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And we would love to hear from you. And if you have a question or comment, we would love to hear it. But Chris, as we were talking, if you don't put in the effort, in that important area of marriage and family, you're not going to reap a great harvest. You reap what you sow. And if you're not sowing anything, you're not reaping anything.
Yeah, I like that you brought up marriage, because marriage takes work. And, you know, in pre-marriage counseling, I'll see a couple, I'll take a couple through pre-marriage counseling, and the couples that I think are going to do really well sometimes don't. And then the opposite, the couples that I'm not sure about can do really well. But marriage is one of those things where if you work at it, it'll work. And so even marriage, which is it's rewarding work, it's fun work, it's enjoyable work, but it does require work, just like anything in life. If you want to be a success at it, if you want to do good at it, it requires work.
Well, and I tell people this, say, just think about your job. So if you start a new job, everybody, when you start a job, you have to learn the ropes.
Yeah, it's always hard starting a new job.
Right, because there, I mean, just bottom line, there's an idiot phase. And some jobs have a longer idiot phase than others.
Yeah.
When I started in the chemical business, and especially chemicals, I wasn't a chemical engineer or a mechanical engineer. Most of them are chemists. Most of those guys had a background in that. But the idiot phase for Nalco Chemical Company was about a year.
Wow.
Where you were unsure of, I didn't know about cooling towers and boilers and processors, all this stuff. And
you can't just fake it till you make it.
No, because people can figure out pretty fast. You don't know what you're talking about. So you have to apply yourself in your job to understand the ropes and to learn. And that's what people, I think with guys especially, there's a disconnect. They think that marriage and family should just be easy. Oh, I apply myself at work, but I don't apply myself at home. It's like, well, then why would you expect that you're going to get good results at home? You're not applying yourself. If you pursued your job, your career like that, well, you wouldn't be successful.
Yeah, you determine to be a good husband or be a good wife, and you pour into your spouse, and you find out what their love language is, what their personality, what their likes and dislikes, and you become a student of them, and you listen to them, and you pour into them, and you're basically filling up their tank, their love tank.
Here's an interesting verse, Chris, on being a sluggard versus being diligent. Proverbs 13, verse 4, the soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the soul of the diligent is made fat. You know, you can wish for all these wonderful things. I wish I graduated from college. I wish I got my degree. I wish I had this job. I wish I learned another language. But how are you going to do those things? You have to apply yourself to achieve those things.
Well, and I hear a lot of, in our society, in our culture, I hear a lot of downplaying education. And I know there's a downplaying of college, but there's, you know, some of that is fear of what they're going to learn in college and what's going to be taught. But there is something to being diligent and completing the task, completing the degree, the requirements for the degree, and, walking across the stage and having that sense of accomplishment that I completed something. And it could be a skill. It could be a trade school. It doesn't matter. But finishing something, feeling that calling from God, following that calling from God, and then being diligent about preparing yourself to do what he's called you to do.
Well, and so many people, you know, they have this goal at the start of the year, I'm going to read the Bible through. Debbie's read the Bible through, 15, 20 times. She does it every year. That's a great accomplishment. You know, we did last year at the church, we said, let's read the New Testament through in the first 3 months. That's very doable. Sometimes read the Bible through in a year.
It can be daunting.
It can be overwhelming for people. But you want to, so as we said the last segment, first thing, make your bed. That's an easy thing, but it's an accomplishment. Mm-hmm. And so if you're listening and you say, I don't spend that much time in the Bible, set a goal to read the Gospel of John, 21 chapters. Just say in 21 days, I'm going to read this book.
Well, I like that goal because it has a time frame. It's 21 days. It's doable. It's going to challenge you, but it's doable. It's not something just way out there and ambiguous. But it's I believe in goals and setting resolutions. That's how you get better. That's how you grow. And you set those for yourself. No one's setting that for you, but you're setting that for yourself. But 21 days, it's short term, 3 weeks makes a habit. So that's a good one.
Right. And then with your Bible reading is prayer. And see, here's how this can work together. So you open up the Gospel of John and you say, okay, I'm going to read a chapter a day for 21 days. So go through the whole book. And then I just have a notebook and I have questions on what does this mean? What does that mean? And bring those before the Lord. Mm-hmm. And you can talk to a friend that's further along in the Lord to help you answer those questions. You know, Chris, one of the websites that I like so much, gotquestions.org, yeah. You can go there with a lot of questions.
Well, if you're reading one chapter at a time, you know, if you read through the Bible in a year, it requires three chapters, about 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. If you're reading just one chapter, that's only a few minutes. John is pretty thick. There's a lot of depth to it. But if you're reading at just that pace, one chapter at a time, you could pace yourself to where you're studying what you're reading. So a verse doesn't make sense, you can underline it, and you could spend some time going to Got Questions or going to a commentary or going to your pastor and really learning. So the objective is not just to finish the reading, but it's to grow,
right,
to learn.
Right.
And pray before you read. Pray that God will open up your heart, they'll open up your mind to what he has to say to you through his word.
Right. And remember this, important to remember, the purpose of prayer is not just for God to do what you're asking him to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the end game. The purpose of prayer is to draw you close to the Lord. It is not hard for God to answer your prayers. You know, Lord, give me this job. Lord, help me this. Lord, heal me here or whatever. God can do all that. But what God wants from you and from me is to draw near to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so how does that happen? How do you build a close relationship with someone? You can't fast track that.
Mm-hmm.
You get to be best friends with somebody because you spend a lot of time with them.
Well, even that requires discipline. And I would recommend if you have a lot of people struggle. I know I struggle sometimes with staying focused. You know, your mind starts to wander. You start to think about all that you have to do that day. Journal, write things down.
Mm-hmm.
You can even write down your prayers like you're writing a letter to God. It helps you to stay focused.
Right.
You know, sometimes if you pray at night, you fall asleep while you're praying.
Right.
You wake up in the morning. Oh, I had a 7-hour prayer time. No. So journaling will help you to stay focused on God.
Well, the phone lines are open. If you have a question or comment, 888-589-8840, and we'd love to take your call. So, Chris, what do you say to the person that just says, yeah, I struggle so much with being lazy. It's just so hard for me, you know, to get off the couch and exercise. It's hard for me to study. My mind seems to wander. Maybe I have dyslexia and it's hard for me to read. You know, in today's technological world, there are so many helps. So maybe you're an auditory learner. I'm an auditory learner. And so I listen. I was playing golf the other day and I was just playing by myself. And I had, Debbie got me for our anniversary, those ear pods or earbuds or whatever they're called. Well, I listened to two sermons while I was playing golf and learned some great things. Last night when I was working out, I listened to Greg Laurie's testimony, and it was on the heels of watching Jesus Revolution. It's just Greg sharing his whole testimony, filling in some of the gaps that Jesus Revolution didn't tell us. It was tremendous. And it's just like, man, you can learn a lot and grow a lot while you're doing other things because you're being diligent.
Well, you were saying about Jordan Peterson where he said the first step, just make your bed. So just do something small, just one step. You know, they say, how do you eat an elephant?
Right.
One bite at a time. And set some goals, some physical goals that are obtainable, that are doable, some relational goals, some spiritual goals, some things that you want to accomplish, some things that you want to do. We have one life. You know, God has given us this one life, and he's called us to steward this life, you know. And he tells us in Romans 12:1 that we sacrifice our bodies. We give up our bodies as a sacrifice to God, and then our minds, and then our evaluation of ourselves. And so just, you have one life to steward. And so start with just doing something small and then build upon that. Don't get caught. Don't get stuck in, you know, paralysis by analysis, where you just think about it so much and you just agonize over it and then you do nothing.
Right.
And then it really does hurt your own self-esteem, your own self-worth as you continue to do nothing. Do something small and build upon it.
You know, as we talked about too, so we don't want to be hearers of the word only. We want to be doers. So you, in order to do, you have to hear because you have to know what the Lord wants you to do. But then you have to do. You have to get out of the boat.
Yeah.
So the old John Ortberg book that was just powerful, just the title, if you want to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And so take that first step.
And we, you know, Peter, okay, so he began to sink when he took his eyes off of Jesus, but he did get out of the boat and he was walking on water.
Right.
And no one can say that. And only Jesus did that. So powerful things happen as you do get out of the boat and you're obedient to the Lord. And I think of, when I think of just do it, I think of James. You know, James is the do it book. Uh-huh. You know, like it's a good compliment to Romans,
right,
which is about grace. But James is, you know, show me, show it. So
right,
you're saved by grace through faith, but works is a product, you know, works is a byproduct of our salvation. So it's not what saves us, but it shows that we are saved.
Right. And so you're talking about prayer and your mind wandering. I think everybody can relate to that. I had a friend of mine that used to pray probably an hour a day. He had about 100 people that he prayed for every day. And I said, well, Everett, do you ever just not feel like praying? He said, well, sure. I said, well, what do you do then? He said, well, I pray more.
Wow.
Because he's awesome. he's very disciplined. So discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. It takes discipline. Does everybody always want to go to the gym and work out? No. Would you rather stay in bed because it's cold out? And sure. But discipline says, I get up when the alarm goes off. I get up and I go.
Another good piece of advice would be play the script. We call it play the script. So you don't go to the gym. You stay in bed. Then you finally wake up and get going, and you look back and you regret it all day that you didn't work out.
Right.
But when you do work out, when you're done with that workout, you feel amazing. You feel like you can conquer the world because you've accomplished something. Well, also, you got endorphins going. You know, a lot of things happen physically, physiologically, but that's building confidence in the task that you have for that day.
You feel good about yourself. Okay, we have our friend Alan from North Carolina on the line. Alan, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Reverend Jeff Shreve. And I apologize for calling in 2 days in a row, but, you know, you always have such interesting topics, and they're topics that are so important and so relevant. But I wanted to make a comment and then to ask you a question. But my comment is on reading the Bible, and I'm glad to know that your wife reads through it every year. I do also, and I use a different type of study Bible. And before I read my Bible in the morning, I get on my knees, and actually I borrowed this from Dr. J. Vernon McGee. I read it in one of his books. But I pray, Holy Spirit of God, reveal Christ to my soul and open the word to my heart. And then I get up off my knees and I sit down and I read the Bible. But thank you again for sharing that. And I know you shared it more than once. But my question was something you had mentioned earlier, and I think you partially explained it, but maybe you could explain a little more. But the admiral who had said, when you get up in the morning, make your bed the very first thing. And then the purpose, what is really the purpose of that? Could you give a fuller description of that?
Sure. And thanks, Alan, for the call. I think it's just an accomplishment. It's do the little things and start checking, get some little wins so that you can go to the next step. And that's an easy first win. Hey, get up in the morning, I make my bed. I've accomplished something. Now I'm ready to accomplish the next
thing. It just gives you something to build upon. Every single person can make their bed. It's something simple, but now you've started in the right direction for that day.
Right. And I think it develops discipline in a person's life. You got to start somewhere. And so as we teach our little kids, hey, you got to clean your room. Mm-hmm. And kids don't like to do that, but they need to learn how to do that, and they need to develop that discipline. Well, thank you for listening today to Real Truth for Today. And I'm Pastor Jeff Shreve. Dr. Chris, thanks for being on today. And look forward tomorrow to having my friend Mike Courtney. Mike is the brother of Shonda Pierce. We talked to Shonda last week, and now we're going to talk to Mike, her brother, tomorrow. So you're not going to want to miss that. He has an incredible testimony. So, hey, go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. Be diligent, and God will use you. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.